You know, the world right now is a really unsettled place. And for such a time as this, women play a most important role in history as peacemakers. The goal of Ladies of Liberty Sound Off is to affect the lives of women in an empowering way through discussion of important issues of the day. So, are you ready? The Ladies of Liberty are ready to sound off.
Hello, everybody. This is Mallory Millett, opening our show today for Ladies of Liberty. And today I'm here with Linda Martinelli, and we want to talk about one of the things that I really want to talk about is why in the world does a lie circumnavigate the globe like wildfire? I mean, something comes out on Monday and on Thursday, everybody from Rwanda to Iceland is talking about it. They all know every detail of this thing, which is generally 90% of the time a big whopper of a lie. Whereas the truth, which is fundamental and is sound and is right there in front of a lot of people's eyes, stays hidden. The truth seems to stay hidden all the time. Well, the crazy, crazy fantasies flash around the globe like mad. And this is something that's just been driving me crazy my whole life. Certain things that come to mind to me are, if you all remember how we were never supposed to eat eggs, don't eat eggs, they said. Eggs were terrible for you, terrible for your cholesterol. So for about 25 years, we all avoided eggs. And then suddenly they announce, oh no, that was completely wrong. Eggs are great. You have to eat eggs. If I meet another 22-year-old college person who tells me they're off dairy, I'm going to just go mad, because being off dairy when you're a very young woman and to have no dairy is a very, very bad choice. You end up with osteoporosis. You end up with a hooked back. You end up a hunched over, hooked over old lady who can't look at anything but her toes anymore. And because I just don't know, these rumors start washing across the college campuses and these kids believe all this stuff as if it were the Bible. And then it turns out that it's a complete lie. We're all told what a great hero Teddy Kennedy was. Teddy Kennedy was such a great man, wonderful person. No, he was not a great man. He was not a wonderful person. And it's completely because of Teddy Kennedy now that we have this disastrous immigration policy. If he had just been put in jail where he belonged when he killed Mary Jo Kopechnik on the bridge that day in Massachusetts, if he had been put where he belonged in jail, he wouldn't have been free to run around and ruin our world the way he did. But this just goes on and on. Has this been driving you crazy, Linda, in your life? Does this make you nuts?
Well, it does. And I think that, bad news travels faster, or news that is somehow, conspiracy related or somehow over the top. Everybody likes to hear that, because the real news is often not as exciting, although these days it's pretty exciting. So it does travel all over faster. And, the thing that strikes me, Mallory, is the amount of conspiracy theories out there. I just get really frustrated talking with people, and they're off on these tangents with conspiracies that are happening all the time, and everything to them is a conspiracy. That makes me pretty nuts, actually. I think that people have given up on their own common sense, their own innate sense of, does this really sound right? Because I think that most people, if they apply themselves, can figure out the truth or a lie. There are some things that we're having a very difficult time with figuring out if it's a truth or a lie, like vaccine, no vaccine, mask, no mask, what happened in China when the virus came out, all of that. all of that, there's so many differing opinions that people get confused and they don't know what to think. But I think if people take the time, which I don't think that they do, to look inside of themselves and inside of, you know, just common sense, because that really is the answer to a lot of things. And I don't know why we have given up our own common sense to listen to some talking head on the news media who never tells the truth. And speaking of things that drive me crazy, and I want your opinion on this, what really, really, really drives me crazy is listening to the news media and listening to the lies that they tell over and over, and including our politicians, not just the media, but just listening to the lies. And you know that they're lies, and they know that they're lies, and yet they repeat them. So I don't even know what to do with that.
Well, you know, you said that you were speaking about Haiti on the show yesterday. And this is something that just slays me. I am so upset about this. So the word out has been that all these Haitians have shown up at our border because of what went on in Haiti, their latest catastrophe, which they seem to have endless catastrophes in Haiti. But this terrible, it was an earthquake, right?
They had an earthquake, but they had an earthquake. They've also been hit with, you know, hurricanes and tropical storms. So you all together, it's just a real mess over there.
Right, except for the fact that almost none of these people who are camped out under that bridge there are from Haiti. They're Haitians who live in Chile. Do you know that
and
about
Ecuador,
90%?
And Ecuador, you're right. You're absolutely
Chile
right.
Chile and Ecuador. They are not people coming from this disastrous area in Haiti who need asylum and who need a safe place to go to. They're opportunists who are leaving a fairly nice life in Chile that's nothing like the oppressed, horrible, disastrous-ridden life in Haiti. They've left Chile to come here. Now, that's a lie that's going out everywhere, that these are the poor Haitians seeking asylum. No, they're not. They're Haitians who settled in Chile who are now taking advantage of the fact that the word has gone out in the third world that Joe Biden is just going to let anybody who wants to come to America in. And so they're trying their luck with coming from Chile, saying that they're Haitian. Apparently they are Haitian, but they live in Chile. So now this is just another lie that's getting promulgated. It's being talked about on all of the mainstream media, which just lies consistently. There's no truth to it.
When I started looking into this, my first question, Mallory, was, how are they getting over here? How are they getting from Haiti to the southern border of Mexico and walking up? How are they doing that? And some people absolutely are doing that, but not very many, as you say, because it cost them about $15,000 to get here. So to get there and to start walking up. So if you just people would do a little bit more research, they would find out that these are Haitians that have been living in Ecuador. And you're saying Chile. I hadn't heard that.
A lot of them from Chile.
Okay. So I know that in Ecuador, the ones that are there have been there for about 6, 7, 8 years. And they have been living there just fine. And they have been waiting for an opportunity until the border was open to do exactly what they're doing now. So they felt that the time was right to now approach the border because Biden's letting everybody in. Now, the other big lie about this is from the Biden administration, who said, we are going to send these people back. And from Mayorkas, who said, well, we only had temporary protected status, TPS, through July 29th, which is an amazing thought in itself, that they actually gave all those over 1 million people that flooded into our country they have given them temporary protected status all the way from January 20th to July 29th. And then they say, well, now we're going to send these Haitians back. So they've sent back about 500 of the 16,000 that are under the bridge. And now they have started just releasing them into our country. So the lie that they were going to send them back is a lie. And that's what you're hearing on the mainstream media. Well, they're going to send them back. No, they're not going to send them back. They're not going to send them back. And we are all going to be stuck with them. And I know that for me, living in Texas, they have started bringing them up to San Antonio. And that's going to be a problem. They've also brought a lot of the Afghans up there. And with you in New York, I'm quite sure that you're going to get your share of both as well as all of the other illegal immigrants that have walked over the border since January 20th from 148 other different countries. So yeah, this is a big mess. And why, Mallory, we are not in a true uproar in this country, why we are not protesting in the streets, I don't know, because this is absolutely one of the most treacherous ways for somebody to try to get votes that I've ever seen in my lifetime.
Really, it's just scandalous. It's deplorable. It's absolutely villainous. You know, all you have to do is look, if you have an enemy like this, all right, we're political enemies with the progressives, with the Democrats, with whatever they're calling themselves this week, because they keep changing their name. You know, they're liberals, they're Democrats, they're progressives, they're thises, they're thats. It's all the same thing. They're anti-American, one-world order people who want to destroy. They fancy the idea. They have a great fantasy that we're just going to be one world here, which is such nonsense. You can't have the entire globe governed by one world order with one overriding authority. I'll never forget George Bush Sr. when he came out of the presidency. He said, you know, you American people, I'm just letting you know on the QT, I just want to let you in on something, that there's a whole new thing happening called the one world order, or the new world order, where it's going to be one world government with one overriding authority, and that this is going to be the future. This was a man that we Republicans elected in good faith, that we thought was a loyal, decent American, and we never dreamed we'd hear things like this dripping from his lips. And here he is instructing us that we're going to have this one world order. I keep laughing among my friends and saying, why did we fight World War II? I don't understand this. We would have saved ourselves a lot of trouble, time, money, toil, and heartache if we had just given in to Hitler. That's what Hitler was doing. Hitler was trying to create a one world order where the German people would ascend to some great hierarchy above all other nations, and that they would have their communist, because Nazism was a communist plot, not anything else. It was a communist scheme. It's called the National Socialist Party, not the National Republican or, you know, free thinking or constitutional anything. It was the National Socialist Party. And people say, oh, well, they couldn't have been communists because they were enemies with Russia, with Stalin. So the Nazis are constantly, this is another one of the great lies that I wish everybody who's listening to us would understand. This is a monumental lie. There's nothing right wing about Nazism. It's the exact opposite of anything that the right lives and breathes and dies for. The idea that the only reason that Hitler and Stalin were enemies was because Hitler wanted national socialism and Stalin wanted international communism under the Russian flag. And that's the only difference, was they were vying for being, which one was going to be the big world power of communism, is what that little fracture between Hitler and Stalin was all about. And it had nothing to do with our being way on another side, which was for freedom, for the American Constitution, for basic human rights. So that's one of the great, great lies that's gone around the globe. And you'll hear people saying this all the time. Well, if you wanted to talk about the far right, in other words, Nazism, no, Nazism is far left. It's the same thing that we're all, the Donald Trump, that all of us on the side that we're on here in America are fighting for, is our enemy is Nazism, communism, left-wingism, progressivism, those totalitarian ideas. You know, my colleague, David Horowitz, motto for the David Horowitz Freedom Center is, inside every liberal is a totalitarian screaming to get out. And that's really what it's about. These people are totalitarians, and they want everybody to be under their thumb, you know. One of the things that they've done that has really worked, and it's just appalling to me, that makes my blood stop in my veins, it's so upsetting, is that, like, right around 25, 30 years ago, long time ago, my husband was talking about this thing called Google. And he was the first person I ever knew who had a fax machine. He was pretty good on the computer. He was staying up to the minute with all of this high-tech innovation that was running forward like a house of fire. And he was staying on top of it all. And he would say to me, there's this thing called Google. And I'd say to him, I'd come to him and say, what's such and such? And he'd say, oh, Google it. Well, I started looking at this Google thing. I looked at it with him on his screen for 10 minutes, and I knew exactly what I was up against. Because, see, I'm an old communist. I was very, very rabidly fighting on the left for a long time, for a number of years with my sister, and we fought for abortion, and I was completely on that side, and I was an activist on that side. So I know what liars they are, because I was telling the lies, too. It was all about the cause. You know, it didn't matter what lie you told, because it was in the name of the cause, and we had to convert the world to this much more humane way of living and all of that. But I looked at this. I said to my husband, wait a minute. This thing is very left-wing. This, you know what this is, Thomas? 30 years ago, I said to him, this is a way of taking over all the information in the world. This is a way of steering everybody into this one forum for information, and then all they're going to do is put out left-wing propaganda. And so I watched it closely from the beginning, and it was just shocking how that's what it is. You can look up almost anything, and it's all from a left-wing perspective.
Well, Mallory, what you said there is really important about that people lie for the cause, and it doesn't matter what you say, because it's all for the cause. And that is what communism is. That's how they put out all of their information. It could be all lies, but as long as it goes for the cause, it's fine. You know, there's a striking similarity to me these days in what we are hearing from our own government, from this president, from this vice president, from the Chuck Schumers, the Nancy Pelosi's, the people that were on the left that were trying to impeach President Trump with all of the false narratives about Russia. And people are now starting to get indicted, as they should. But there has been such a flood of false information and lies. I mean, when Hillary Clinton started this whole thing about Russiagate on purpose so that she could win an election and so that she could have a story against Donald Trump, whether it was true or not, that entire thing, look at what happened with that. That was a lie that blew up so big that they ended up, you know, trying to get President Trump out of office completely for something that never even happened. And that just really strikes home to me when you say that they do it for the cause. And that is what this is and what's happening in our very own government right now. And people, I think, should see that, and they should understand that this is a big problem, and we can't trust what our government is telling us, and we can't know who to trust and what things that they say are true and what things are not true. I mean, we've got so many issues in our country right now that are being talked about at the government levels. And honestly, it's never the same story. Just with this Haitian immigration issue, we had the Border Patrol on their horses, and they were trying to get these people from running over our border. Okay. And they were accused. And now the new thing that they're saying, because they all say the same thing, so they get their talking point. And the new talking point is, oh my gosh, we're treating people like animals. These people don't deserve to be treated this way. Maxine Waters said it. Kamala Harris said it. Mayorkas said, one day he said, that is not happening at all. So that's not even true. The very next day, he came out and said, that's the worst thing I've ever seen. So now they're trying to get sympathy for these Haitians so they can let them all free in our country. This is baloney, what's going on. It is such lies. And it spreads by their talking points, and it spreads by everybody playing the same game for their cause. And that's pretty scary.
Yeah, and of course they're connecting it to racism. Because the people from Haiti are black, then of course it's all about racism, racism, racism. And it's absolute nonsense. I know I saw these pictures of the gentlemen on the horses, and they did not have whips. They were not whipping the people. Those were the reins, the reins that you hold when you ride a horse.
Yeah, they're like, it's like a steering wheel for a horse, right, Mallory?
They were moving it around to from one side of the neck of the horse to the other. This is what you do when you ride a horse. I'm an old horse woman. When I was a kid, I was riding horses and winning blue ribbons. And this is all it was. You switch the reins from one side of the horse's neck to another side of the horse's neck. Those were not whips. And these horses... I did a little research into this today, and these horses are trained for crowd control. The horse knows exactly how to move in such a way as to control masses of people without hurting anybody, without disrespecting them as people or anything like that. And, you know, the thing of it is with these people, they all pretend that they respect people so much, that they think so much of people, but they don't really at all. And believe you me, if you work against these people and you lose, you're going to get thrown in a gulag, and you'll find out then how much they respect people. You know, this is all. Listen, when I left the left, I walked away because I suddenly realized it happened. I had a bit of an epiphany, you know. And
yeah,
I realized it was just all lies. And I was standing there in front of perfectly decent people telling one lie after another because of the cause. And when I began to really take in to my soul, to the depths of my own self, you know, what I was doing, and that nothing that's good rests on lies. Nothing that's good is promulgated by lies. Just because you say, well, the ends justify the means, and so therefore it doesn't matter what we do. That is simply not true. And since I left the left and I voted for Ronald Reagan and came over to this side of things, I am not involved with liars. These people on the right do not lie. They absolutely do not lie. I'm involved in right-wing politics all over the place. I'm a director of the David Horowitz Freedom Center. I'm in the Center of Security for Security Policy on their Board of Regents. And every single person who's in these groups and who's on that side, including Donald Trump, speaks the truth when they speak. It isn't confusing who's speaking truth and who's lying. Just look at who's speaking. If Maxine Waters is speaking, she's lying. If Nancy Pelosi is speaking, she's lying. But if Donald Trump is talking, he's telling the truth. And an awful lot of other people, when they speak, Rush Limbaugh, people like that, they are telling the truth. There is a big difference between the truth and lies. And you can't just say, oh, well, everybody lies, or, you know, nobody owns the truth. I'm sorry, but the people on the right now in America are the ones who are telling the truth. And they're getting run right over because wicked people are willing to do anything. Wicked people will do wicked things. And you have to really, you know, watch for that. You can't just go along with stuff because some people say to you, well, the left cares about people and the people on the right don't. It's the exact opposite. The left does not care about people. When you say Black Lives Matter, and yet people are getting murdered all over Chicago, Black people are getting murdered all over Black neighborhoods. Nobody cares about these people. Nobody cares about these people getting murdered all weekend long in Chicago or in Philadelphia. Oh, no, but if one Black person gets killed by even another Black cop, then it's, you know, it's racism, and the whole thing is raised up as it's all about race. It's nothing to do with race. It has to do with these people. Please, everybody in America who's listening, understand this. These people are trying to destroy the United States of America, and we can't let them do it. We are the last safe place on earth. Look at how people run to us. If we were such a terrible racist society, why would all these Black people be clamoring to get in? They're clamoring to get into a place where they're going to be treated badly? I don't think so. And this is the kind of thing that just goes on and on and on.
Our leaders should never, ever have supported Black Lives Matter in any way at all. They should have treated them as the terrorist organization that they are. And rather than doing that, they held them up on a pedestal. They invited them to the White House. And I mean, that's the shame of this, because Black Lives Matter is a Marxist terrorist organization. And you're right. They don't care about Black lives. That is absolutely a dishonest statement. It just, their name is a dishonest statement, because if they did, we would not be seeing the black on black murder that you have in cities like Chicago and all over the country. And we see it everywhere. And I know that my husband and I, Dr. Ron Martinelli, we talk about it on our show right here on America Out Loud, Talking While Married. Very often we give all the statistics about the black-on-black murders that happen in Chicago. And it's not just in Chicago, but it tends to be all over the country, and even more so now since they have taken a foothold. And by the way, speaking of lies, the three women who started Black Lives Matter,
right?
Only did it to line their own pockets. And of course, they are all Marxists. They're all lesbian Marxists, and they freely admit it. It's not a question. I mean, it's not something that I'm throwing out there as an untruth. There's nothing untrue about it. They celebrate that they are lesbian Marxists, and this is what we want to back as our government. This is who we want to invite to our White House. I mean, we are such in the wrong direction in this country. In so many ways, it feels very overwhelming for people like you and I to try to even fight for it. And I think, Mallory, that's the problem with a lot of the country, is they don't know what to do about this, because the people that are in our government, which heaven knows why people vote for them to even get there, they don't mind telling the lies, and they don't mind spreading the stories, and they don't mind confusing people, and they don't mind putting things in their mind that aren't true so that people react a different way than they would if they knew the truth. And that's the exact same thing that our media does as well.
Well, you know, one of the ways to it's not so much actually to sell a lie, because the lies are so profuse, there's so many, and they don't really care that much whether people buy this lie or that lie or the other lie. What they really want to do is to cordon off the truth. They want to keep the truth away from people, and they want to put a police tape around the truth and have everybody wandering around outside in the dark, wondering which lie is what. Because what's so interesting is they will put out four different facts that are all opposite each other, that are all, none of them is true. It's like if you said to me, what's the date of your birthday? And on Monday, I told you my birthday was September 1st. And then on Thursday, I told you my birthday is August 10th. And then on Saturday, I told you my birthday is April 4th. And then people come around and ask, when is Mallory's birthday? Well, nobody knows anymore because they've heard six different lies about when my birthday is. So what happens is the truth just gets completely diffused. Nobody really knows the truth anymore. And they begin to shrug their shoulders and kind of give up and say, well, I just don't know where to find the truth. I don't know what it is anymore. And that's their real little trick is to look at this business about masks are the first statement that Fauci made about masks was that they were ridiculous. That was the first thing that he laughed and said, they're absolutely ridiculous. Don't bother wearing these masks. Now it's the mask. Then it became double mask. Then it became triple mask. Then it became, people are sitting alone in their car. They're alone in their car on an empty highway and they're wearing
a mask. Oh, I know. I see that a lot.
I mean, it's preposterous, and that's because nobody knows the truth anymore.
Is a record player the best way to listen to music? Of course not. So why are you still taking vitamins that haven't been upgraded since the 1930s? Even if your vitamins aren't hard to swallow, it's time to upgrade to Healthy Cells pill-free, patent-pending microgel supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. They taste great, convenient on the go, and they're more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
There was a time when Americans could rely on the Fourth Estate. Well, in these challenging times, the media is both reckless and complicit. AmericaOutLoud.com. Top analysis from leading experts, articles, podcast, video, and 24/7 talk radio. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back to Ladies of Liberty. Today we're talking about the lies, the plethora of lies that just is completely swamping our days now here. We're hearing so much baloney. But one of the things that I try to promote and that I really think that we've got to get down and dirty and we've got to really, really get our children back. And one of the things that would be involved in getting our children back is to make sure that when people graduate from high school, that they have taken courses in how different economies work. They need to study communism and they need to study capitalism. In capitalism, wealth is created. So in other words, you have an empty space here where there's no wealth. And then you come out and with your industry and your imagination and your ideas and all of your effort, you create wealth. My husband marketed sheets, bed linens, for 25 years. And in the process of spreading bed sheets around the planet, he spread, I'd say, $500 million worth of bed linens around the United States. And that $500 million worth of bed linens that he brought over from various places created jobs and opportunities all over the place, just a glory of money and opportunity and jobs and industry that wasn't here before. It didn't exist. He created that, and that goes forward. And he hires people, and they hire people, and other people hire people, and it's an exponential thing that goes on and on. In fact, it's got an infinite quality to it. There's really no sky is the limit. There's no limit at all in capitalism. You can create as much wealth as you can possibly create. Whereas in socialism or communism, which are the same thing, they're both the same, socialism and communism. People try to sell communism with this word socialism because it's such a nice word. Everybody hears the word social in it and they think it means something decent and something nice. But the fact of the matter is that within communism, socialism, they have what they call the pie. So because you're limited in communism, the collective is creating a certain amount of goods, and the government owns all of the means of production, and so they can only oversee so much, and they can only do so much, and they're limited. So you get what you call the pie. So I get my little piece of the pie, and you get your little piece of the pie, and everybody gets their little piece of the pie. But the more people there are, the smaller your piece of the pie becomes. So you're in an economy where everything is limited, where you can it stops somewhere, and there's no more after that. That's communism. That's not good. That's not based on incentive, on industry, on the human imagination. It's just people being slaves and working in factories for the government. And there's a limit on everything. There's a limit on how much butter you can have, a limit on how much coffee, how much sugar, how much meat, how much anything that you consume has to be limited. This is a very bad thing. This is the kind of thing that the students in high school, all of them, it's absolutely disgraceful. And it's incomprehensible to me that children in our society are not taught how our economy operates. If you live in a society and you have no idea how your own economy operates, you're very ignorant and you're going to lose out completely on the big, you know, thing that the whole country is about. So if they had kids learning the difference between communism and capitalism from objective, truly enlightened, truly educated people who understand these things, we wouldn't have this threat of our kids going off into socialism at all. This wouldn't be a problem. They should all be in a class where they're learning economics on the basic capitalistic level, why it is that if you pit capitalism and communism against each other, capitalism is going to always win because it's limitless, because it's got freedom involved. It's not holding people down and imprisoning them. So if you could do that, and then you get the kids to go out and babysit or mow lawns or do things like that and make some money, and then bring into the teacher, show the teacher that they have invested in, say, two American companies with their own money that they have earned. I put $100 into Johnson & Johnson, and I put $100 into General Mills, and now the kids can sit and watch how their money grows under capitalism. That would be a very important innovation. If we did that and it was required in all high schools, we wouldn't have this problem with our kids getting seduced by these communists who come in and tell them all these lies.
Well, that's absolutely true. But the parents also have to speak out about what's happening in their schools. And we do see a lot of that now. We do see that parents are starting to speak out because I think that they went a step too far with the introduction of critical race and parents woke up. And I also think that by children having to have stayed home during this COVID mess, parents actually started looking at what their kids were doing in school that they had no idea. So I think that that was good, but I do worry that we'll be complacent again, because I agree with you. We should be teaching the difference. And I learned it in school. I went to Catholic school. I had to do papers on the different kinds of societies like capitalism, socialism, communism, all of the different comparisons that you could make, and they no longer teach that. So we don't teach civics. We don't teach people about our Constitution. We don't teach them what their rights are and what their rights are not, which are equally important, because a lot of people think that they have rights that they don't have. And, you know, teach people to be the best that they can be. And instead, what we are doing in our schools is we are dumbing them down, and we're saying, well, people of color can't do mathematics so well, so we're going to just take it out of the curriculum, just like in Oregon. And that's not the answer, because people's skin color does not determine what they're good at and what they're not good at. Everybody is good at something, and everybody has their strengths and weaknesses. So you can't say that because somebody has a certain skin color that they're not going to be good at math, or we would not be in space today, because it was a Black woman of color, actually three women, that are responsible for all of the advanced mathematics that got us into space. So we've got to somehow, Mallory, get these leftist, progressive, Marxist type teachers out of our schools, at all the way from kindergarten up through, you know, people getting their doctorate, all the way through school. We have very, very few conservative teachers in this country. The percentage is very, very low. So that's why they're learning and not learning the things that they should be learning. So that I think is a big problem. And that took over 40 years to get to this point, a little at a time, a little at a time, which is the way that it's done. It's like putting that lobster in the boiling water, or putting him in cold water and letting it boil. There's the difference. They keep turning up the heat a little bit at a time, taking more and more of our liberties, inculcating our students with more and more, and indoctrinating them with more and more leftist principles, and the desire for them to be have entitlements. Because if you take a poll today, our students, our young people, are all for socialism, because they think that they get everything for free. They don't understand the price that they're going to pay for that free stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's just absolutely shocking. And you know, the thing is that one of the things that drives me the wildest is how deeply entrenched these lies get. For instance, there's a whole thing, I suppose a lot of people right now are too young to remember the Rosenbergs and the Rosenberg trials in the 50s, and how this couple was tried for treason and they were executed for treason. And they had stolen our atomic secrets and had sold them to the Russians. And a lot of people, of course, the left got on their side and was fighting for the Rosenbergs, and Rosenbergs were innocent, and all of this, and their children were out campaigning for how innocent our parents are. Well, the fact of the matter is that the Rosenbergs were guilty as hell. They were as guilty as could be. They were convicted properly, decently, illegally, and there's no question as to their innocence or their guilt. But now, since the Venona papers came out, all these secret papers came out of Russia after Ronald Reagan got them to tear down the wall in Berlin, and the Venona papers came out, and in the Venona papers, it was stated for a fact, oh yes, as a matter of fact, the Rosenbergs were spies, and that they did, you know, they should have been executed, and et cetera, et cetera. And you know that still to this day now, when you go into a public school, you go around a college campus, you'll hear people talking about the Rosenbergs and how they were executed unfairly because when they were innocent, when it is not true. It's simply not true. Even the papers that came out of Russia validated that they were spies. The same thing with the Whitaker Chambers and Alger Hiss thing. If you guys out there don't know what this is about, look it up. There was a big issue that happened in the 50s with a man named Whitaker Chambers and a man named Alger Hiss, who were both working as spies for Russia during the Cold War. And Whitaker Chambers was kind of a fat, sloppy looking, not a very attractive, sort of fumpy dumpy kind of a guy. And he was the man who came out and was the whistleblower and said that he had been a Russian spy and that the man he had worked with most was a man named Alger Hiss. Now, Alger Hiss was a very handsome, very clean cut, tall, dark, handsome, gorgeous guy, beautifully dressed. Everybody liked Alger Hiss because he was a glamour boy. And Whitaker Chambers, named him as a spy. And the whole country got divided over this, Alger Hiss and Whitaker Chambers. And nobody believed Whitaker Chambers just because he was sort of fat and homely and sloppy. And everybody was believing Alger Hiss. Well, then it came out in the Venona papers. Yes, Whitaker Chambers was a loyal American who had been a spy, who turned it around and changed his whole life and became a loyal American. And he put the finger on Alger Hiss, who, in fact, the Venona papers said was a very accomplished spy, a very busy, very deeply entrenched spy. Now, you know how deeply entrenched Alger Hiss was? Franklin Delano Roosevelt brought Alger Hiss to Yalta with him when they did the ending of World War II at the negotiating table at Yalta. FDR had Alger Hiss next to him negotiating table. So that's how deeply entrenched Alger Hiss got. So that now if you see the photographs from Yalta, there's Alger Hiss sitting at the table. So nowadays, if you bring up to a deeply committed communist about Alger Hiss, they'll say, oh no, he was innocent. It was Whitaker Chambers. You know, everything has come out. The truth has been established without a shadow of a doubt. The great light of truth has shined upon it. And people still keep repeating the lie. They still keep repeating the lie.
I think people are lazy, Mallory. People are too lazy to learn the truth. They prefer to take the easy way out. And again, they live on sound bites from whoever or wherever they get it. And you can get a plethora of garbage off the internet and off of Google. And I have to agree with you there that Google purposefully will give answers to everything with a left-leaning bent. And they freely admit that, actually. It's not something that is a secret. I want to mention something. I was in Italy over the past few weeks, and as I do everywhere that I go, I talk to people. And I talk to storekeepers and people that live there, and I talk to drivers, and I talk to restaurant people, and just try to get their take on how things are there in their country and how do we look as America from their perspective. And I've done this every time I've been, which has been many years. And it really depends on who the president is of our country, the answers that I get. So in Europe, when Barack Obama was president, Europe initially thought that that was really cool, but they actually hated it in the long run. Their economies tanked when Barack Obama was president, and they blamed us for it. And so we kind of became the hated Americans. When Donald Trump was president, they loved us. When I went to Europe in different countries, when Donald Trump was president, they were ecstatic because as America goes, so goes the rest of the world. So when we were prospering, so were they prospering. Now that we have Joe Biden, what they said to me this time was a little bit different. They said, "What is going on in America? What in the world are you guys thinking going towards socialism? We are a socialist country. Don't do this. Don't do the things that you're doing. Don't have the government be giving people money. Don't start with this healthcare thing. Don't do this." And it was a different attitude this time. It was like disbelief that we are following this direction, and just it was from everybody. What are you thinking? And please don't do this.
Well, I tell you, in New York City, you know, my favorite people to go to like that are the cab drivers.
Yes.
Because, you know, you spend a couple of hours a day in cabs in New York City, generally, or several days a week, you have a few hours a day in cabs. And if you ask the cab drivers, they will all tell you they really know the truth. And boy, they are all just so up in arms. The fact that we've got this crazy president, this crazy mayor, and this crazy governor. I mean, people are just losing their minds over this.
You've got a threefer there in New York.
we've got Looney Tunes everywhere you look, you know.
Yeah, we've got a really good governor, good attorney general. We've got, you know, we've got some good people in Texas, but we can't help with the president, although Beto O'Rourke is going to be coming back and trying to take the governor's spot.
Oh my gosh.
That's a guy that knows nothing. He's on the same level with Kamala Harris about knowing nothing about what's going on in the world. But I do see some concern from the world, and I also see concern, you know, with the United Nations speech. I mean, Joe Biden looked frail and foolish, and we've got another 3.5 years of this, and it's just very frustrating. But luckily for us, we can make a difference in the midterms if American people would take the time to understand truly, truly who to vote for that is going to be helpful to their lives, their children's lives, the future of America as we know it. They've got to just not vote on these party lines. They've got to really do some homework and figure out, you know, who's the best person here who's going to, you know, make a difference. And look at our world when we were under Obama. Look at our world under Joe Biden, and look at our world under Donald Trump. And which do you prefer?
Oh, my gosh. There was just absolutely no two ways about it. It's just perfectly clear as the nose on your face. You know, the thing is, you had brought up earlier the business about our being so divided. And whenever people talk about this, though, I always start to roll my eyes because people don't understand that America is the great beauty and the great glory of America is that we are so divided. The whole point is that every voice can be heard. It doesn't matter how wacky you are, and it doesn't matter how brilliant you are. It doesn't matter what end of the spectrum you're on. You get a chance to give your say, to say your piece, and to get it out there, and you can promulgate it as much as you want, and you can get people to follow this thing or that thing or the other thing. Now, that's why we have a Senate, and that's why we have a House of Representatives, so that we have a safe place to go and yell and scream at each other and holler and fight and quarrel, because the human being is by nature quarrelsome. The whole idea, first of all, that we're going to get rid of war. I don't know where this, you know, this is such nonsense. I mean, if you have a family and you have 5 kids, you know perfectly well these kids are quarreling amongst themselves. You're not going to stop Jimmy from fighting with Joey. Probably they'll be in a fist fight by the time they're in their 20s. This is just people. People are never going to agree about anything. And that's the beauty of it, because in America, that's the horror of other countries. You're not allowed to disagree with anything. You're not allowed to speak up. You can't do this. You can't do that. But in America, you can say anything you want. You can join the Congress if you want and go into the Senate or the House of Representatives and holler your head off and say whatever it is you want and get it out there. But to sit around and lament that we're so divided, if you go back and really study American history, this country has always been very divided. You know, we had a lot of Nazis here during World War II. There were a lot of Nazis. The Duke and Duchess of Windsor in England, the man who was King of England for 5 minutes, was a Nazi. He and the Duchess of Windsor did their honeymoon at Birch's Garden with Hitler. They honeymooned with Hitler. Can you imagine that? It's just so insane.
Well, I think that my point about being divided is not being divided. It is different right now, Mallory. To me, it's different. And I'll try to explain it in the last 2 minutes that we have here. But it's a little bit, we have the people in our government, our leaders, our elected leaders, who are fighting amongst themselves as never before. The vitriol from the people in our government is the worst I've ever seen it. And they're kind of like our surrogate parents. And how they go, so go we. So we see them fighting and calling each other names and lying about each other and doing, not being professional, holding up the work of the government just out of spite, as they did with Donald Trump, doing all these things. And then we get that same way. It is our leaders who are calling all of us white supremacists. It is our leaders who are saying that there's racism in this country to a level that there is not racism in this country. They are telling us these things, and people are reacting to these things. And that's the problem. It's just like Mayorkas and what's her name? Kamala Harris, and then Presley. The other one I mentioned, Maxine Waters, saying that these horsemen were whipping the Haitians. You know, they say it and people believe it, and then they get angry about something that isn't even true in the first place. And that's what we have in this country right now. I don't mind different opinions. I can talk to anybody who has different opinions.
But really, Linda, it's always been this way. During the Vietnam War, it got so vicious. It got so vicious. I was living in a loft on the Bowery on the fifth floor. We used to look down on Great Jones Street, which was the street that we were living on the corner of Bowery and Great Jones. And we were expecting tanks to come down Great Jones Street. NYU campus was so rife with quarrels. They had thrown rocks through all the big plate glass windows of the student union so many times. They would replace these huge plate glass windows, and 3 days later they'd be smashed again. So after a while, they stopped replacing the windows and they just left them broken. Remember in Kent State, they came on campus and they shot some of the students who were demonstrating. Here in America, that happened. I mean, after all, look at Benedict Arnold and Alexander Hamilton. One of them killed the other in a duel. I mean, this has gone on forever in America. The only solution that I see is that the right-hand side of things, our side, needs to get louder. It's just that the left is so loud and so forceful and so violent and so crazy that they seem to be creating this, you know, melee all over the country. But if we got powerful, if we got strong and really fought back hard, they'd calm down a lot. Believe you me, they would. They're just being, you know, it's like the bully kid in the family, you know, the six-year-old is going around terrifying everybody with his bad behavior, this 10-year-old or whatever it is, and nobody does anything. And what he really needs is a good licking and to be put into the woodshed for a night without his dinner, you know. We are not disciplining these people. We are not fighting back hard enough.
Well, ladies, that's a wrap. One more step for womankind.